Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is August the 8th, and I'm with Scott Patty for a Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, yeah, it's Monday.
Monday. Mm-hmm. Which means yesterday we had church.
We did.
Yes.
What a beautiful day, too.
Yeah. And so I want to do a couple things in our podcast today. I want to kind of talk a little bit about the sermon on Sunday, ask a question from that, and then just talk a little bit more about just congregational life as we think about heading into the fall at Grace. And so let's talk a little about the sermon. You were talking about the Holy Spirit, but we were in a lot of different places.
Yeah.
So kind of give us a little bit of a recap from the sermon on Sunday.
Yes. We're still in the farewell discourse of Jesus, and we're looking at different themes, different messages is a better way of saying it, different main messages that Jesus put before his disciples as he was getting ready to go to the cross and what we would say depart, you know, because there's the cross, and then 3 days later there's the resurrection, and then 40 days later there's the ascension, and then there's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then the disciples, the apostles, the church, living in the world without the physical presence of Jesus, but now with the presence of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus has given in the farewell discourse several messages to his to the church for the future through the disciples and the apostles. And one of them is that we have the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to ask the Father to send a helper. And four times in John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper. And so this week we were reminding ourselves and then trying to understand how it relates to our actual living in these days, that Jesus has given the Spirit. The Father has given the Spirit at the request of Jesus, and the Spirit is the helper, the one who helps us. He helps the church, and he even helps the world in the sense that he helps people in the world come to faith in Christ through convicting them of sin and righteousness and judgment. So that was the message on Sunday. It's an understanding or a reminder that we have the Spirit.
Yeah.
And, I think there's a way to think about this. We've seen throughout history, church history, and particularly maybe in our lives, we've seen in recent history, the past several decades, that churches can and Christians can go to this extreme of almost forgetting that the job of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, was to glorify Christ, and they start to glorify manifestations of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
and we do not want to do that. That is not the New Testament message. The New Testament message is that God's Spirit is among us, ministering for the sake of drawing people to Christ and glorifying Christ, not to glorify us in the gifts of the Spirit or to put the emphasis on the gifts. On the other hand, many people live the Christian life as if they're still sort of, you know, doing this by willpower, and it's a duty-oriented religion, you know, and it's like there's no communion with God through the Spirit. There's no life of God in our souls through the Spirit. We don't want to go there either. So it's trying to just lay out kind of clearly from Jesus' words what he said about the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So at one point in your sermon, you did speak about prayer, and you were talking about prayer in the work of the Holy Spirit, and you mentioned that we encouraging us as a church to pray for the work of the Holy Spirit. So could you kind of explain that a little more and what you mean by that and kind of what you were thinking as you were telling us that?
Okay. So could I start by sharing what I did not mean?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So when I say pray for the Spirit, pray for the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, what I don't mean by that is praying for another Pentecost. So what is Pentecost? Pentecost was a celebration that the Jews had in Jerusalem right after Jesus ascended into heaven, and that's when he gave the Holy Spirit. He gave it at Pentecost, so that's why we call it Pentecost when we refer to the Holy Spirit coming. So I'm not praying for a second historical experience of Jesus pouring out his, giving the gift of the Spirit to the church. Neither am I saying that we should pray that the Christian would have a second work of grace that was apart from their salvation to where now they are given the Spirit.
Right.
So like some people would say that the first work of grace is forgiveness of sins. The second work of grace would be the imparting of the Spirit into the life of the person, mm-hmm. the Christian. That's not what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Because my understanding of the New Testament teaching is that the person who is a Christian is totally a Christian.
Yeah.
Right. Forgiveness of sin, justification before God, reconciliation before God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, all of that mm-hmm. is a part of what it means to be a Christian.
Yeah.
So I'm not praying for a second blessing in the life of the Christian. Okay. What we are referring to, though, is that we are praying that the Lord will work in power. I'm going to use the word manifest, to manifest his power to greater and greater degrees among us in our time mm-hmm. and among the work of the ministry that we do and in our lives as we commune in fellowship with him. Hmm. So it's not praying for the initial gift, it's praying for the ongoing ministry. I think we have warrant to pray for that. Jesus said in Luke 11 that the Heavenly Father will give the Spirit to those who ask. And so the Heavenly Father has given the Spirit mm-hmm. to the church. And now the Heavenly Father gives the Spirit in terms of the ongoing ministry of the Spirit among us in mm-hmm. greater power.
Yeah.
I'm praying for it.
Yeah.
I'm praying for the Holy Spirit to work powerfully in our congregation to guide us into truth, in my life to guide me into truth, to bring me into deeper fellowship with Christ, that I might abide in Christ more deeply, that the Holy Spirit would give great power to our witness, our teaching of the Bible, those kinds of things. I'm praying that the Holy Spirit will convict the world, more lost people, convict them concerning sin and righteousness and judgment.
Yeah.
We know that God's choosing throughout history. The Holy Spirit works in what we would call evident ways.
Yeah,
we can see it, and I think we should pray for that.
Yeah.
Now, one more quick clarification, and then maybe if you've got another question. But I also think that we should never try to work it up.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And we should never assume that the ongoing, regular, routine, ordinary means of grace are somehow lesser than.
Right. Yeah, that's good. And that God works in the ordinary.
Absolutely he does.
Yeah.
Absolutely he does.
Yeah.
I mean, just you know, pray, pray, be in the Word, preach, do ministry, evangelize, serve, disciple, love, give, share. You know, just do it all. Mm-hmm. And let God take care of how he blesses the ordinary means of grace. That's his sovereign choice. What we do is we obey and we pray and then we rejoice in what he gives us. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing wrong with the ordinary every day, every week in and week out, you know, another Sunday, another discipleship class, another service opportunity, another evangelistic conversation, another act of love. There's nothing. That's all good. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Because we believe God's working through that. And we believe the Holy Spirit's involved in that too. So
right.
It's not like he's not involved in that.
Yeah.
So we pray for it in the ordinary means of grace. Yeah. Holy Spirit, use what we're doing.
Yeah.
And then if he chooses to do that in what we would call a heightened way, we'll praise the Lord for that too.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. So it kind of sounds like even as we pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, it's not like we're going to go create something new. Because what we've been doing can't work.
That's right.
We got to create something new, and then the Holy Spirit, we're asking for just a greater experience of the Spirit in through the things that we all already are doing, that the Spirit would work through those.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it.
So let me kind of ask another question as we move on from the podcast, but even maybe tie it in a little bit of how we pray for the congregation. And fall always comes around in August, and there's just a lot going on, activity for children and youth and adults and even college-age students. And so as you think about people coming to you, and I'm sure people come to you and go, Scott, how do I get plugged into grace? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I jump in and get involved and get connected? Obviously, we can point them to a lot of the things that we have that are going on,
yeah,
which are great ways to get connected. But how would you kind of pastorally encourage us, mm-hmm, as a church asking that question? Okay, Scott, I'm here. Maybe I'm new. Maybe I've been here for 5 years and I'm saying, Scott, I need to get plugged in. Mm-hmm. How would you encourage someone at Grace?
Okay, so I'm going to give you some ways, but I am going to start with the first thing, and that is, it is good to just educate yourself on what we do.
Right.
So you had a kickoff Sunday, yeah, adult discipleship gathering,
like fall
yesterday,
preview, yeah,
before the sermon, before the worship service, and you shared all the ways in the fall things are going on, groups, mm-hmm, and classes, and then Jason and Josh came in and they shared. Elaine came in. All right, so that was good. And I would say, you know, absolutely, people that want to get plugged into Grace, just, yeah, find out, go to the website, look at the brochure that we just sent out in the mail, look at other stuff at the Welcome Center, and you'll find the listings of, yep, things that we do. So absolutely do that. Now, having said that, let me give, as you said, some kind of pastoral words, mm-hmm, and on how to plug in. The first thing I would say to people is, yes, show up. You know, that's, mm-hmm, that's the phrase that we've been using around here at Grace for a long time, mm-hmm, because you have to, you know, presence is so much. You just need, yeah, to be around the people, around God's people, and be there. Mm-hmm. When you show up, I would say to somebody, really try to build relationships, mm-hmm, get to know somebody, get to know people. Mm-hmm. This is hard for people, mm-hmm, who don't have a personality type that lends itself to, you know, reaching out and introducing yourself and having, yeah, a lot of different acquaintances. Some people are just not wired up like that. And I would say if that's you, that's okay. You know, then you're going to have to show up at a group, mm-hmm, small group. And then when you're in the small group, get to know one or two people.
Right.
But the point is, be relational. We have to be relational. It's about people. It's about each other. So get to know someone, mm-hmm, someone. Now, you can think of a lot of ways to do that. You can invite someone out to lunch after church, or you can just try to talk to the same person standing at the coffee time, 10 to 10:30, or you can invite yourself to somebody's house for lunch. You know, you can do whatever you need to do, but do something to build relationships. Show up, build relationships. And then the other thing I would say that I think is really important, that's a more of a mindset, and that is when you show up and as you're building relationships, I think Christians and church members need to come to church focused more on what God is doing and how they are a part of that and contribute to what the Lord is doing, and not put all of their weight on what the organized church is doing for them. Hmm. So what do I mean by that?
Yeah.
Okay. The most basic thing we do at Grace is Sunday morning worship. Mm-hmm. When you come in, it is so easy to ask all the questions that are related to what's going on outside of me. Mm-hmm. When really the most important questions are,
yeah,
what's going on inside?
Yeah.
What is God doing in me? Mm-hmm. So the outsides are important, mm-hmm, and we as an organization try really hard to do the outsides as best we can, but it's the inside that people need to be asking. So I've shown up at a church as a visitor and nobody greeted me. Mm-hmm. And I was watching because I was a pastor from another church,
yeah,
and I wanted to bring information back to our church so we can do things better organizationally. But if I was a church member or whatever, I would be called to correct myself and say, did I show up asking who do I serve?
Yeah.
Another one would be if you show up to the most basic thing, which is the worship service, we're singing. The question is, am I singing praises to God first? Mm-hmm. When often it's, how are they doing the music so that I can sing?
Yep.
Even the sermon. Now, I'm not being silly here when I say this. I'm not the most exciting guy in the world preaching. I don't have a lot of great stories. I mean, I don't, it doesn't even need to be about me. I don't want to go here too long because people are like, oh, you're being so self-deprecating. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just being honest.
Right.
You know, I know myself. So maybe even the preaching, you're just like, it's not happening today for me. I would say, okay, but you're here and you have a Bible and you can pray for me. Mm-hmm. You know, pray me up while I'm preaching.
Yeah.
Or pray for the person next to you. Or read the Bible. Or develop your own sermon outline because mine's not cutting it today.
Yeah.
I mean, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. There's just simple examples of saying when we come into church, usually what happens when church members come into church, they're asking the question, what's going on organizationally? And how is it engaging me?
Right.
That may be an important question, but I would call us to ask a more important question.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, what is God doing in my life?
Right.
What is this purpose about?
Yeah.
I can worship the Lord. I can pray. I can be in the Word. I can serve and love somebody regardless of what's happening on the outside.
Yeah.
Those are the ways, showing up, building relationships, and coming to church focused on what God is doing and what He wants to do in me and through me are the key ways, I think, that people really get the most out of their church life. Or some of the key ways that people get the most out of their church life.
Yeah, that's good. So what I'm hearing you say is that the organization, the kind of what a church does, it's important, and we need to do it with excellence and simplicity and in all of the things that we try to do. But as I come into church, the outside of me is important. It has its place. But what I need to be more concerned about is, God, what are you doing in me?
Yes.
And then kind of full circle where we started the podcast was, and we're asking the Holy Spirit to work.
Yeah.
And I think that for me is helpful, that as I walk in a church, it's not always about the details, even though they can be important. It's really about Holy Spirit work.
Yes.
And
the Holy Spirit can work regardless.
Yeah.
Thankfully.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
Those are some ideas.
Yeah. And I love too the piece, Scott, you said about engaging people in relationship. I've seen this. I love it. When I've had, you know, people who come to Grace, maybe it's their fourth or fifth Sunday, and it's, well, tell me, have you gotten to know anyone? Oh, yeah, I've gone to lunch with so-and-so. Mm-hmm. That's it. It's just connecting, building relationship. Because as we say at Grace, there is this organized ministry that we create to try to be helpful to people, and we're trying to do our best. I think we're doing well. But I also think it's that organic that we talk about at Grace, where it's building that relationship, getting to know, and you may gather with people to read the Bible, and it's not through the organized groups, but you're being encouraged and growing in your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to see.
Yeah. And I think one more thing, I think people can do that in keeping with their personality.
Yep.
What I don't want to do is for someone to hear this and say, oh, you just missed me because I'm a quieter, not as outgoing in my personality, to which I would say, that's okay. It really is okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're not saying that you meet 50 people within a month's time and have some kind of interaction with them over that month. That's not what we're saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that everyone can simply try to meet someone and to enter into somebody's life and learn how to pray with them and talk to them and befriend them and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so that would be helpful.
Great. Well, some great encouragement as we head into fall ministry, even from the sermon of praying for the Spirit to work. And that could be, Scott, a really great thing that we start praying as a church. I was thinking as you were talking and just coming out of the fall preview and thinking, man, we got so much going on. And it can be so easy to get lost in the details and the dates and the calendar and go, okay, what am I really asking? Lord, would you work through everything that we got going on and through the people that are serving so that people would have a come to know you that don't know you, and those that know you have a deeper experience with you.
Yeah.
So
amen.
I think it's great. Well, we'll look forward to another Sunday. We'll be back in John.
We will be John 15.
Okay.
The abide in me passage.
This is one of my favorite passages in all of John. So no pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah. But looking forward to it.
All right.
All right.